This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Heart Health Emergency Care and Health News channels. Make sure you connect with us on our various social media channels, such as Facebook, Google Plus, and Twitter, to follow our programming accordingly. We are also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today we are speaking with Mr. Mike Carlin, who leads the CPR and AED training division of AED Superstore, the largest reseller of AEDs and associated service within the world. Mr. Carlin, a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
Thanks a lot, Eric. I'm glad to be here.
You bet. So first of all, for starters, you know, we constantly hear about cholesterol, blood pressure, heart attacks. Is sudden cardiac arrest common, and is it something that the general public should be concerned about?
Absolutely. Sudden cardiac arrest right now takes out around 300,000 to 350,000 Americans a year. If you think about our overall population and that 300,000 to 350,000, that's quite a very large number. You know, a sudden cardiac arrest is one of those conditions that it's non-biased. It doesn't really care about ethnicity, background, current health status. When sudden cardiac arrest hits, it definitely hits. So it's, you know, it's pretty common across the entire United States, and it's definitely something that people need to be aware about.
It certainly is surprising to understand that sudden cardiac arrest is so common and is responsible for so many deaths. Yet we commonly just think of heart attacks as the leading killer. What exactly is the difference between the two, a heart attack and sudden cardiac arrest?
They're commonly referred to as one and the same, but they're actually quite remarkably different. A heart attack is usually caused by a blockage in a coronary artery. So one of the arteries that's actually feeding the heart, as that starts to become blocked, that creates a whole set of symptoms that we've all commonly heard about, the chest pain, the pain in the shoulder, pain in the jaw, so on and so forth. But within the heart attack, the person is still conscious. Their heart is still beating normally. It is still perfusing major organs, the brain, so on and so forth. It's sudden cardiac arrest. The heart is stopped. The heart is now in, could be several different rhythms, but it's no longer effectively moving blood throughout the body. And, you know, as every minute passes, when the heart's not beating, tissue's dying, the liver's starting to die, the brain's starting to die, the lungs are starting to die. So the sudden cardiac arrest is more the actual stoppage of the heart, where the heart attack is where the heart's still effectively beating. Heart attack could very well lead to sudden cardiac arrest, especially if it goes untreated for too long.
How would we know if someone is suffering from sudden cardiac arrest, or what would one do? Do they call 911 or just wait?
Sure. That's actually a pretty common question. Sudden cardiac arrest is usually pretty obvious. The person has lost consciousness. They've stopped responding. They're no longer breathing. And action, you know, immediate action and immediate intervention is what's the most recommended, and also the biggest advantage and leads to the greatest possible chance of survivability for that person. So identifying cardiac arrest and immediately calling 911 are the first, you know, immediate steps that you can take.
Certainly appreciate that. Great information today. We are with Mike Carlin, who leads the CPR and AED training division of AED Superstore, the largest reseller of AEDs and associated service in the world, here on eHealth Radio's Heart Health Emergency Care and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. So, Mr. Carlin, so if I give someone CPR and try to use an AED, but the person doesn't make it, am I responsible or can I be sued for trying to help? That would be a question that I'm sure the listeners may have.
Oh, absolutely. And that's a question that I receive quite often in classes that I teach. The United States and every individual state within has created Good Samaritan laws. And the Good Samaritan laws, while they vary from state to state, they all kind of have that same point of reference. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to encourage those that don't have a duty to respond. So on-duty firefighters, paramedics, law enforcement, other emergency healthcare workers, the lay rescuers, the Good Samaritan laws are trying to promote lay rescuers to help, especially in a situation like a sudden cardiac arrest, because immediate intervention is the most beneficial. So if a lay rescuer were to do CPR and use an AED on somebody who's in sudden cardiac arrest and the person doesn't make it, Good Samaritan laws are going to stand behind them as long as they did what another reasonable adult would do. You know, if they were to do something that was inappropriate, then they might, you know, they might not be shielded from liability as much. However, if they do CPR and give it a good valiant effort and use the AED in accordance with the manufacturer's guidelines, which manufacturer's guidelines are just telling lay rescuers, do what the AED tells you. Once you turn it on, it'll start to prompt the rescuer on how to do it. So even somebody without training should be able to operate one of these. But they wouldn't really necessarily be open for liability, especially if the person didn't make it. And that's, the Good Samaritan laws were written specifically to shield those lay rescuers and promote them to actually help.
Last question, are AEDs expensive and what kind of responsibility are we talking about here? And do we just buy it and hang it on the wall? How does all that work?
Well, AEDs have significantly reduced in price over the years, and they range anywhere from about $800 to about $2,500. And what really separates the AEDs amongst each other is the list of functionalities that they cover. You know, certain AEDs might do this, another AED might do this. But at the bottom line, all AEDs are intended to do the same thing and are programmed to do the same thing. And the overall cost of it is, you can kind of compare it to an insurance policy. You want to have it there in case you need it, and you hope that you never have to use it. The overall actual financial investment into it initially could range depending on the feature set that the customer is looking for. And there is some ongoing maintenance cost. The pads do need to be replaced every couple of years. The battery needs to be replaced usually about every 4 years. Some units might be a little bit higher than that. But overall, the investment into it is relatively low. And really, how do you compare that to saving somebody's life? An AED is the definitive treatment for sudden cardiac arrest. Well, defibrillation is the definitive treatment. An AED delivers that defibrillation. But how do you compare that initial cost to the cost of saving somebody's life? And then, you know, for as far as AED ownership goes, AED ownership is very, very simple. Really all it needs to be done is the AED should be checked periodically, which means that somebody would just need to take a look at it, make sure that the pads haven't expired, that the status indicator that's on the unit is showing a positive status. And really that's about it. And then as the pads get close to expiration, make sure that the pads do get replaced on time, that the battery is replaced before it expires and before it gets low as well. So it's a little bit more than just buying it and hanging on the wall, but overall, the actual ownership responsibility is very, very low and very simple to maintain.
Certainly do appreciate your drawing our attention to the need to have this in place just in case. Certainly makes a lot of sense as well. Where can our listeners get more information about AED Superstore, and how can listeners be in touch as well if they need?
Absolutely. Anybody can go look at our site, which is aedsuperstore.com. And there's all sorts of information, all of the different products that we carry, from AEDs to replacement supplies for the AEDs to CPR materials to actually CPR and AED courses. We do have instructors across the entire U.S., and we pride ourselves on using instructors that actually have a background, those that were in fire, EMS, emergency medicine, people who have actually done this on a regular basis. We tend to deliver a little higher level of education from that experience. At AEDSuperstore.com would be the place to go, and you'll find all the products that we sell and all sorts of different information about those specific products. And anybody that would have any questions can definitely call into our call center and talk with any one of our agents who are very knowledgeable and eager to help. And that number is 800-544-0048.
Well, once again, Mr. Carlin, we certainly appreciate your time for joining us here today on eHealth Radio, and look forward to a future conversation.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Eric.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Mr. Mike Carlin, who leads the CPR and AED training division of AED Superstore, the largest reseller of AEDs and associated service in the world. And once again, the website to learn more is aedsuperstore.com. eHealthRadio.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Heart Health Emergency Care and Health News channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.